Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We received a very interesting email a while back from a student at Southern Utah University. Southern Utah University is located in Cedar City, which is a Southern Utah town. And we thought that we would read what she had to say to us because it has to do with trying to find a copy of our book, Answering Mormons' Questions, at the SUU library. So she writes us and she tells us this story.
She says, I was overjoyed when I found out that SUU had a copy of Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson's book the last week of spring semester 2014. I needed to get my hands on it. There was only one problem. It was being kept in a section of the library I had never even heard of, Special Collections.
Special Collections. Now, first of all, we need to explain, how did the book get there? We know that most libraries in the state of Utah are probably not going to come to us and request a copy of the books that we have written to put in their libraries. So we had a campaign a while back to put some of these books in the libraries.
Yeah, we asked some of the people on our mailing list if they would be willing to help us get these books out, and we had enough donated to send out 100 copies. And I personally went through all the different addresses and all the different contacts, donating these throughout the state of Utah, as well as Hawaii and Idaho, because we sent them to BYU, as well as BYU, Idaho, and Hawaii. They all received them. They all accepted them. I know for a fact, in our library district where we live, Bill, there are 6 copies, and I'll check on there occasionally, and 3 or 4 of them are typically checked out. So we know that it was a valuable resource to be able to get to people to so that people could have access to this book in their public library.
And one of the reasons, of course, that we want to get it into public libraries is because the average Latter-day Saint probably will not contact us to purchase one, or they won't go to Amazon in order to buy one, but they may read it if they can read it for free.
Yep.
And so that was the whole point. We use this as a strategy to try and get the information that is in those books into the hands of Latter-day Saints that probably would not write us and want to purchase the book or purchase it from Amazon.
Now, what exactly is Special Collections?
That's a good point, because Special Collections in many university libraries is where they keep a lot of the rare books. And she does talk about that later on in her email. I've been to the Special Collections Department at the University of Utah. I remember the first time that I went there was way back in 1977. It's a special part of the library. And well, let's let her explain what happened with her experience. Okay. And I think that'll answer the question that you've asked.
Yeah, she says, I went down to Special Collections with the call number and the librarian went and got the book for me from the back vaults. I was extremely disappointed to hear that I could not check the book out. I could only read it when I was in the heavily monitored Special Collections room and could bring in only a pencil and paper.
And she's right. At least that's the way it was with me when I've gone to the University of Utah in the Special Collections department there. You have to check out the book. You give them the call number. They go get the book. They hand you the book. And then you have to sit down in their presence and do whatever research or reading that you want to do from the book. You are not allowed to take the book out of that room. So she's quite accurate in the way she describes it.
Can you photocopy anything?
I don't remember being allowed to photocopy, but that could be different according to the different libraries. I don't know.
Well, so our book is somehow in the Special Collections, and she goes on and says it was during...
Let me say this, Eric. When I have checked books out at the library and archives, the LDS library and archives downtown Salt Lake City, no, they don't let you photocopy those. You can only have a piece of paper and a pencil to write down whatever sources you are looking at.
That makes it pretty impossible to get much information imagination, because who can do all that writing?
Oh, yeah, and some of the quotations I was writing down, and they were long quotations.
Wouldn't that have been nice to have been able to get a copy of that?
Well, would have been great.
She goes on and says, it was during summer break that I realized just how strange and suspicious my experience was. I had ended up just purchasing my own personal copy of the book, but now I was worried about my school. I had to find out what was up with what seemed to me like censorship. This current fall semester, I went back down to Special Collections. This time, it wasn't to check out a book, but rather investigate the circumstances surrounding the book being held there. The Special Collections website mentions that a book has to be extremely rare, fragile, or valuable to be kept there. And this book fit into none of those categories.
Now, I had a chuckle when I read that. I guess answering Norman's question is not all that valuable.
Well, it's not rare and fragile, but
it's certainly not rare or fragile. That's true. And she's right. That's normally the kind of books that you find in a special collections department at a library or at a university. So she's describing this accurately.
She says, nobody in that section of the library could give me a straight answer on why this book was basically inaccessible to students. So I was told to take this issue to the dean. Now, it being rare and fragile, it was donated to them. They haven't paid anything for it. To stick it back here where people can't get to it wasn't the intention we had. We were hoping that would be in general circulation so that people could read a book. If they wanted a second one, they could ask me and I would give them a second copy.
Certainly. Now, we are thankful that they at least cataloged the book so that she knew it was even there. But you're right. We would love to have this book more on the open shelves where a person could find it on their own, check it out, and take whatever time they needed to read it.
She goes on and writes, today I met with the assistant dean of library services about the book. She didn't know why the book was kept in special collections either. But I did get one crucial piece of information from our meeting. She said that SUU gets a lot of quote-unquote Mormon books donated to their library, like ours. She said that they can't put every book they receive on the shelves because people start to get angry and the small library will maybe even start to lose funding. I really don't think anyone cares about these books that get donated. They just stuff them down in special collections without even reading them to see which ones students would benefit the most from.
Now, I can understand what she's saying here, at least what the dean has told her, because SUU is not a school that is owned by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. It's not like a BYU. And so it is a state school, and maybe a lot of non-Mormon students going to the library might get upset if a lot of the shelves had Mormon books, either pro or con. That could very well be, but still, really, how many books could that possibly be? I don't know.
I'm sorry, Bill, though, I can't buy this idea of to start to lose funding, because just because you're putting informational books, you want to cover both sides. And let's say somebody, a professor, wants to have students do a controversial paper, for instance, and they need to explain what the other side has to say. These books can prove invaluable in understanding what that other side says. Granted, they might be labeled anti-Mormon, but when you're talking about free speech and the ability to learn in a higher level institute like SUU is supposed to be university,
yeah.
It's not a college, it's a university, right. Then the goal is to be able to allow all opinions to be there, and the students who want to find that book and be able to check it out should have access to that. Those who are going to be offended, don't check it out. Having been a teacher of students, I always tried my best to give the students both sides. And so whatever that might be, let them hear both sides in your classroom and have them go do the research and let the truth pan out. And I think the truth will come to the forefront. She goes on and says, they told me that they'd have to purchase another copy of the book and then put that one in the main collection. So hopefully soon, students at SUU will have free and open access to answering Mormons' questions like they should. Can I make an invitation to the librarians at SUU? If you're listening to this right now and you would like another copy of Answering Mormons' Questions, I will personally send you a copy to your library so that you can have that in the main circulation.
Maybe putting books in the special collections department might be, let's say, a I hate to say it, but a lazy librarian's way of taking these books and kind of putting them away and at least being able to say, well, we got your book, we acknowledged the book, we put it in the card catalog, it has a call number now. Perhaps thinking maybe someday they're going to get around to putting it out on an open shelf? I don't know about that.
No.
That's kind of hard for me to believe.
I think she stated it pretty well. It's a back vault. It's probably not something that they're going back and looking at. Nobody has access to that except for the librarians who work there. Those books pretty much probably get stuck there. And unless you're looking on the computer on their library, it has a call number, like you said, and they did have that book. But a lot of students, when they see SP on there, they're probably not going to even bother because they know they can't check it out. To get the information is going to require a pen and a piece of paper, and that's going to be hard to get that information.
I do remember when I was doing the research for In Their Own Words, which of course is a book that merely is a compilation of quotations from various Mormons, either leaders or professors or even some lay people. I was down at the church library. At first, I was at the old library that was in the church headquarters building. Then they moved it across the street, and I've been back since to go over there. But I remember when I was at the old library, I looked up Answering Mormons Questions, and I noticed that the church has a lot of our material. They have a lot of our old stuff that has been out of print for years, but they were all in the special collections. In other words, in the archived area of the library where you had to get permission to get it. And of course, they didn't keep it out on the main floor to make it easily accessible.
If you're a faithful listener of our show and you go to the library, next time you go there, look and see if our book is even available on the computer. Because even if it might not be at your particular branch, it might be in one of the others. We tried our best to get this all through the entire state of Utah. But if you found out that if that book is not available in your district, we'll get you a copy. Have the librarians look into that, and if they need a copy donated to them, we will do that as well, because our goal was to get that throughout the state of Utah. So if you're listening to us, especially in Utah, let's make sure that book is available to the people of the state.
I might even add, also include Nevada, Idaho, and even Arizona.
Sure.
Because those states have a very high LDS population. And so, of course, our desire is to get the word out so that Latter-day Saints who may not be willing to spend any kind of money to get a book that's critical about Mormonism, hopefully to get the book into their hands, and so they will have the opportunity to hear some of the arguments that we raise in those books.
Both sides, we should be able to have both sides looked at upon and let each person judge it for themselves.
Well, anyway, we thought that story might be of interest to you, and we were certainly tickled to hear this story of her efforts to try and get a copy of Answering Mormons Questions.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Let me ask you this. Have you ever wondered how to answer questions you were asked by your LDS friend? Well, a new resource by Kriegel Publishers and written by MRM's Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson is exactly what you need. Answering Mormons Questions is a 300-page book covering 36 common questions that Mormons often pose. Now you'll have the ability to respond to them with sound biblical reasoning. The book includes a glossary of common LDS terms and has study questions at the end of each chapter. Questions such as, wouldn't you like to have your marriage and family endure for all eternity? And what's wrong with praying about the Book of Mormon are dealt with in a straightforward but loving manner. Available at the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore, 1358 West Temple in Salt Lake City. Or if you prefer, you can order online at mrm.org. That's mrm.org. Answering Mormons Questions. It's a resource every Christian needs.